Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5, if you would tonight, Ephesians 5, and I just want to be a help and encouragement to you. I so appreciate the invitation. I'm honored by it and humbled by it, and your pastor is a mentor to me. It's his fault that I quit my last ministry. I was reading his book, The Right Path, and as I read it, I just really felt led the Lord would have me to resign and look to pastor a church. And being 26 years old and having nowhere to go at Christmas, nobody's candidating 26-year-olds at Christmas. And so I waited there for a while and prayed. And the Lord just very shortly led me to a church in North Carolina. And we're seeing folks saved. And the Lord has led some godly men in North Carolina to be a help and encouragement to me. My two Tims, Pastor Tim Raven and Pastor Tim Butler. And I know they've got several students here as well. And what a blessing and encouragement they are. Take Ephesians chapter number 5. Before we look at the passage, I want to give a little bit of the background of the book. And the book of Ephesians is a book of God's amazing grace. And aren't you grateful for the grace of God? There's 6 chapters in this book. If you look at the first 3 chapters, you could really summarize it by saying it deals with our exalted position in Christ. And what an exalted position that is. We have been made to sit in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. We have been made joint heirs with Jesus. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We have been chosen and predestinated not to be saved, but to be like and with the Lord Jesus, to be holy and without blame before Him. Both Jew and Gentile alike are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We should never forget our exalted position by the grace of God. But not only our exalted position, but chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal now with our exemplified purpose. Chapter 4, verse number 1 says, I therefore, because of the position we have in Christ, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. If our vocation, if our destiny one day is to be likened with the Lord Jesus, then today we should be likened with the Lord Jesus. Our walk, our witness, and our warfare must not be done in the flesh, but should be done in the power of the Spirit. And I believe the empowerment of the Christian life is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. But if you found your place, let me ask you to stand. Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse number 13. And I really had a leading on this, looking at the theme this year as well. From Ephesians 5 and verse 13. The Word of God says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Thank you for standing, and may be seated. I want to draw your attention to verse 18, to that phrase, but be filled with the Spirit. The phrase be filled with the Spirit is found in contrast to a first command in the text. Be not drunk with wine. There's a contrast, but also a comparison, a clear contrast for someone who is under the influence or control of alcohol. Says and does shameful, wicked things that perhaps he ordinarily wouldn't say or do. Drunkenness, I believe, extending to the very act of drinking. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, is flesh controlled. It's the opposite of being filled with the Spirit. And while there's a contrast, there's still a comparison. Examining one under the influence of alcohol and one under the influences of a spirit, there's one commonality. They're controlled. Both are controlled and surrendered by what fills them. I want to ask you tonight, are you controlled by the Spirit? Right now, are you filled with the Spirit of God? You see, Scripture shows the duty and the privilege of being filled with the Spirit. I just want to take a few moments and encourage us from the Bible to show us the fuel of the Christian life, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. I think about the filling of of a vehicle with a car as an illustration. I remember my first car, it was a hot rod, get this, a 1995 Ford Escort station wagon, LX edition, 0 to 60 in about 5 minutes flat. And when I got this car, I drove it on to Bible college, and like most Bible college students, I was broke pretty much most of the time. And I kept that car pretty much on empty, really just taking a risk every time I drove it. I remember the first time of many times that I ran out of fuel. I was pulling onto the road and I knew that the car needed to make it to a gas station and quick. And about a quarter mile into the trip, I heard a familiar sputter. Now, I was in the left-hand lane and I was going about 25 miles an hour and I was cruising along and holding up traffic and in my granny car. And to the right of me was an actual granny and we're both holding up traffic there. And as we were going, I knew I needed to make it to that station. And so I just kept going and kept going, holding up traffic, looking in the rearview mirror, seeing an impatient young gentleman in a black sports car. I believe he was mouthing words of encouragement to me. You know, you can do it. Come on. You've got this. And I remember going about halfway up the hill, gas station in sight. I ran out of fuel, and that guy passed me, and I believe he waved at me as he passed in. You know, as I was going by, and I was filling my car with fuel, I just understood, listen, I need to keep this thing full all the time, or I'm going to run up on empty. Let me challenge you tonight. Have you ever felt like you're on the side of the road, empty and out of fuel? One of the most frustrating feelings is to run out of fuel in a vehicle. Why? Because your vehicle was designed by God to take you someplace. But without fuel, it is useless and on the side of the road. Listen, Christian, we have been designed by God to be like and with Jesus. But without the fuel of the filling of the Holy Spirit, we'll end up useless and on the side of the road spiritually. Now, it's very important to understand that in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, at the moment of salvation, we receive all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. Verse 13 and 14 tell us very clearly that after you trusted and heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is the earnest of our inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment on everything that He promises to us. And how many of you know if you ever purchased a house, when you put down earnest money, you didn't get that back. Everything that God promises to you that is going to be yours in eternity is indicated in the person, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 tells us that we're baptized and indwelt with the Spirit of God. The question of the filling is not how much more of the Spirit you can receive, it's how much more of you the Spirit will get of you. Every believer has the Holy Spirit, but not the Holy Spirit doesn't have every believer it. Paul prayed in chapters 1 and chapter 3, as we see his prayers, that the Ephesians would experience the hope, the riches, and the exceeding greatness of his mighty power. That they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's been my prayer as I've been praying today for you. And I know that's the prayer of your pastor, that we would have His fullness, that we would have His filling. How do we have this? Well, the Word of God clearly lays out in the text why and how and what happens when we have His filling. And I believe as a millennial, as a young preacher, one of the things that I find is people are looking for substitutes. And there's no substitute for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why folks, the young preachers my age, go for the glitz and the glamour of the rock bands, and they go for all the show, is I believe they're seeking something, but they're exchanging it for a false fire and a strange fire. And listen, if there's something we need to thunder, it's not necessarily to warn of the areas, and we need to do that. We need to warn, but we also need to keep the fire burning in our churches. And to have the truth and the reality of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you experience revival and you experience His power and His presence, listen, if you've experienced fire, you're not satisfied with the smoke. Amen? And I praise God for a church and for a college that's here that understands the filling of the Spirit. And I want to continue to challenge you with that tonight. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Three realities of Spirit filling. Notice, first of all, there's an evil prompting the command. You see, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're going to be filled with yourself and filled with the flesh. Verse number 15 tells us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know how easy it is to fall and be filled with the flesh. This word filled is used in Luke 4:28 when the religious leaders were filled with wrath. Acts 13:35, those Jews that resented Paul and Barnabas in their preaching were filled with envy. And if we're not careful, we'll be filled with the flesh. We're told here in the text to walk circumspectly. The idea is to inspect their circumference. I think of my sons when I first brought them to a farm, and they'd never been on a farm before. My one boy ran out in the field and he started playing with something that he thought was Play-Doh or clay. I'll just tell you, it wasn't either one of them. And I saw him, I said, that's wonderful. He's out there playing in the field. And I saw what he was playing with. And I ran to him and handed him off to my wife, and she cleaned him up. And as he's, you think I'm joking? I have six kids. I call them a six tax credits. But listen, it's hard. It's hard to keep track of these things. I put little dog trackers on him. And listen, and out there he's dirty and he's covered, and we're washing him and he's filthy, and he's looking at me like, why are you stopping my fun? I'm like, it's not fun. Listen, let me ask you tonight, have you found something? Are you playing around with something? Do you think it's fun, but in reality it's filthy? And it's forfeiting the filling of the Spirit of God in your life. It may be alcohol, where it produces excesses, all sorts of immorality and actions that will ruin your life. The Ephesians lived in a wicked city. Remember in Acts 19, when Paul entered that city, there was witchcraft and worship to Diana. And these were wicked. This was a wicked culture. Archaeologists have discovered vomit pits near temples where people would drink in their act of worship. And then they would go out and they would vomit, and they would go right back in and they would continue that sin. Acts 19:19, when the Ephesians got saved, they surrendered 50,000 pieces of silver worth of witchcraft. And when they got right, they got rid. Listen, our days are evil. If we're not careful, if we're not walking circumspectly, if we're not filled with it, yielded to and surrendered to the Holy Ghost of God, we will end up in something that will ruin our lives. We're to have no fellowship, Ephesians says, not be partakers. We're to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look back at chapter 4, verse number 30. Chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm thankful tonight I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. When we sin, we don't lose our salvation, we lose our fellowship. And when we sin, we grieve a holy God. To grieve is to do something that would displease. I think of when I've lost loved ones, I grieve. This is a love term. To grieve is to make sad or sorrowful. It's a strong word. And when we sin, we choose sin, and we mess around with sin, we grieve the Spirit and forfeit His filling. There's so much in chapter 4, but grieves the Spirit: lying, anger, corrupt communication, bitterness. All this grieves God. Why? Because He so badly wants to use you. He wants to take your tongue. He wants to take your passion. He wants to take your words and use it for His glory. Psalm 78, verse 40, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I think about Moses, who missed out on the Promised Land because of his act of anger and disobedience. I'm going to ask you tonight, what will you miss out on because of grieving the Holy Ghost? I think of Israel that approached Ai with Achan's secret sin. What do you have stashed away? I think of Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, who was involved in all sorts of immorality, and he ended up sharing his secret. And when faced with something that he had to overcome, Scripture says that he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Oh, friend, as Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, tonight there's a war going on. You feel it. I feel it. We face it every single day. And where the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. And if you are surrendering to the flesh, if you're yielding to the flesh, you forfeit His filling and you miss out what God has for you. Oh, there's an evil prompting the commandment. Secondly, there's an emphasis proclaimed in the command. Notice again verse number 18. But be filled with the Spirit. This command, be filled, is the present passive imperative, meaning this: be filled, be filled, be filled, be being kept filled with the Spirit, be continuously filled, over and over again. Get this, one baptism, multiple fillings. Oh, the believers at Pentecost were filled in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The same believers, when they were in the upper room, assembled together as they were praying. Acts 4, verse 31, they were again filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then in Acts 13, verse 9, was filled again. It's continuous. Oh, it's a state of total, complete surrender, yielded to the Lord. I ask you again tonight, right now, are you filled with the Spirit? Not in years past, not in a camp service, not last week, not last night, right now, are you filled with the Spirit? D.L. Moody was asked why he emphasized the filling of the Spirit and why you needed to be continually filled. And he said this, because I leak. And how many times do you know that we leak in this broken vessel? And Moody would say that the only way for a broken vessel to remain full is to stay under the tap. And listen, we need to be under the tap of the Word of God, under the tap of preaching, under the tap of the things of God. Listen, as we like to say in North Carolina, get under the spout where the glory comes out. Now God fills us and God uses us. It's a state of continuous filling. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily decision to be yielded to God the Holy Ghost. It's also a command. This encourages me tonight because God doesn't give suggestions. He gives these commands, and He doesn't command something you're not unable to do. It means you can do it. You can be filled with the Spirit. We're not commanded to have the Holy Ghost. We're not commanded to be baptized by the Holy Spirit or indwelt with the Holy Spirit or sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And going to God and asking Him or requesting that filling, it's passive. God is implied as the source of the filling. We're being acted upon. We're the object of the action. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot make it ourselves. And we are inviting the power from on high, not of our own. And then it's plural. It's for every believer. It's for everybody here tonight. It's not just for some spiritual elite person. Don't get the idea that the power of God and the presence of God and joy and victory and in the Christian life is for some sort of elite Christian. No, listen, it's for everybody tonight. Command, I can do it. Passive, it happens to me. Plural, it's for everyone. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Why do we miss out on that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says this, quench not the Spirit. To grieve is to do something that would displease God. To quench is to fail to do something that would please Him. The picture is putting out of a fire. Later we'll see in Ephesians that to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. It's to put out an intended result. And the Spirit of God wants to do something in your life. And if you quench the Spirit, you put it out. You think about a fire. There are many ways to put out a fire. You can pour water on it. You can cover it with an incombustible substance. You can drain the oxygen. Or you can simply neglect to supply the fuel. Are you neglecting to supply the fuel of the Spirit of God? Are you doing what He commands you to do? When the Spirit directs you to give or forgive, when He directs you to go out and give gospel tracts and witness, do you quench the Spirit and the Spirit of God speaks to you and He directs you? Do you move it away or do you respond instantly to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God? Let me ask you tonight, are you filled right now with the Holy Spirit? Do you respond instantly to Him? Are you on fire for God? Has there ever been a time you've been closer to the Lord than you are right now? I remember being in Bible college and my roommate approached me and he came to me and he said, I think you're backslidden. He said, I've been watching your life and I've been seeing it. Your sense of fervency has kind of slipped. Your sense for activity and witnessing has slipped. And I began to speak to him and I said, listen, I'm a ministerial student. How dare you speak to me that way? And I was a little bit offended by what he said. And he said, listen, he asked the question. He said, are you closer to God right now than you were yesterday? See, that's the very definition of being backslid. If you're not closer to God today than you were yesterday, listen, you need to get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's an emphasis proclaimed. And then finally, there's evidences pursued out of obedience to the command. Look at the text again. Be filled with the Spirit, semicolon. The semicolon shows the sentence is complete. What follows in verse 18 is the evidences are the evidences of someone who is filled with the Spirit. Listen tonight, the filling of the Spirit is not for ecstatic experiences. It's for effective experiences. If you get filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, Listen, you won't bark like a dog, laugh like a hyena, or cluck like a chicken, but you will be more like Jesus Christ. You'll have His power. You'll understand His purpose. You'll be yielded to the Spirit of God. And the filling of the Spirit will affect what you say, how you feel, what you do. You'll be under His control. Oh, look at verse 19. You'll sing to the Lord, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Think of those that you know that are Spirit-filled. Oh, they have got a praise about them. They got a shout in their step. They've got something in their mouth. They love the Lord. They live for the Lord. You think of those that you would say they are Spirit-filled. There's something about them that praises the Lord. Oh, there's a singing and then there's satisfaction. Verse 20, giving thanks always. Amen. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a thankful Christian? Are you a satisfied Christian? Do you give thanks always? Are you grumbling and complaining? Hey, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? And then in verse 21, you'll be submissive one to another and to the will of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission. Putting yourself under submission. Another mission. And that mission is the Great Commission. Oh, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you'll win souls. And listen, the Bible says that when you're filled with the Spirit, you shall be witnesses unto me. You'll serve the Lord and serve each other. You see, the rest of the chapter deals with wives and husbands. Chapter 6 starts with children being obedient to their parents. It continues with fathers. It talks about employers serving in goodwill, rather than eye service, and employers forbearing in fairness. Philippians 9:13, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, it's the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It won't be you. It will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. How then can you be filled? Number one, confess all known sin. Right now, if there's any sin in your life, ask yourself, is there anything grieving God? Is there anything that you're not doing that displeases Him? Is there anything that's quenching the Lord? Are you not doing something that He would have you to do? Confess that sin tonight. Listen, and He'll clean you up. Oh, I think of that illustration of a cup, and I think about taking that cup and imagine me going to my mother with a cup in my hands, and in that cup there's rocks and there's dirt, and I say, listen, would you please fill this with your sweet tea? She would not fill that. She would take that and cleanse it out first. Oh, grieving the Holy Spirit would be handing something to God and saying, fill this! And inside the cup there's all sorts of sin. Would you come to the Lord tonight and ask Him to cleanse the cup so we can fill it? Quenching the Holy Spirit would be God putting something in your cup, putting something for you to enjoy, for something for you to do, and instead of doing what He's called you to do, just pushing it aside or dumping it out. Listen, tonight, is there any known sin in your life? Confess it. Number two, yield yourself completely to the Lord. Go to Him and say, Lord, whatever You would have me to do, I will do. I want Your will to be done. And then ask for it to be given. Humbly go to the Lord and ask for the Spirit to fill you, then appropriate Him. Apply it in your life. I saw someone, I preached on the message of filling the Spirit and taught the subject in a class. I had a member come to me and say, preacher, I asked for the filling of the Holy Spirit and nothing happened. And that would be like you taking your vehicle, filling it with car and just standing there looking at it. Or maybe getting into the car and just kind of sitting in the front seat. To experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit is asking and receiving the filling of the Spirit of God. Sitting in the vehicle, cranking the ignition, putting the pedal to the metal, and driving. Drive, baby, drive. Listen, if you want the filling of the Spirit of God, if you want the unction and anointing, when the Spirit of God directs you to go witness to somebody, you yield completely to Spirit. You ask for His power. You ask for His unction. You ask for the ability. And listen, what God will do as you step forward, as you win, as you operate, what He has commanded you to do, you'll experience the fullness that He has for you. I think of the story of D.L. Moody. And Moody heard that command, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him. And as the story is told of Moody's life, and perhaps you've heard it as Moody goes out and as he starts the ministry at the YMCA, two women came to him and said, Moody, we're praying for you. And he said, why are you praying for me? Pray for the unsaved. They said, no, we're praying for you because you're lacking something in your ministry, and it's the fullness of the Spirit. Moody was a little bit upset by that. He was in his form and his function as you study his life. And it was at the Great Chicago Fire. As he closed that meeting, he decided not to give an invitation for the gospel, but extended it the next week. So God had directed him to do something. And as he was going forth, he finished it and he realized that he had missed an opportunity. And to the day of his death, he looked back at that moment and said, he'll never finish a service without giving people an opportunity to come to the gospel. The story is told as he was in New York, and as he was seeking the fullness of the Spirit of God, he surrendered completely to the Spirit. And Moody reported that beginning of his life, at that beginning of his ministry, as he was beginning to seek the things of God, Moody said he understood what it was to be filled with the fullness. He would go out, he would preach the same sermons, he would go to the same areas, but this time he had the fullness of the Spirit of God. And as he experienced the fullness of God's power and God's unction and God's anointing, God moved England, God moved America mightily because of the ministry of D.L. Moody. It was later in his life, as the story is told, of one search committee looking for an evangelist to bring to the meeting that they were hosting. One man stood up and said, "We must request D.L. Moody to come and preach for us." And the younger man stood and said, "Well, what's so special about Moody? Does Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And the older man answered wisely, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Moody." I'm here tonight just to be a messenger, to challenge you from the Word of God. Are you filled with the Spirit? Does the Spirit of God have monopoly on your life? Right now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's answer.